There were over 110 men and boys yesterday at the Burger Bash, so congratulations to those folks. Yeah, 110, over 110. The PNC report, thank you for that. People ask me, how does it feel when the PNC is successful? And my answer is, wonderful. That's why I'm here, is for the PNC to be successful and to call the next lead pastor. If you don't already have a reading plan, you can get in on one beginning September 1st, reading Genesis and Exodus, the origins of our world and of the nation of Israel. And you should fill in the nomination forms and drop it in the basket or the boxes, along with generous offerings for the church. We appreciate that. Now to our message. I've asked for 2 weeks. Let me ask again. What do you think of when you hear the word church? Perhaps a building with a steeple on the outside and a pulpit on the inside. A place with warm memories like VBS or SCAMP or retreats and the great banquet. A place with cold memories like people with who are money grubbers or abusive, or the three R's of religion, which is rules, rituals, and regulations. Let's think of what the Bible says about the church as we look at common objects in our daily life to communicate spiritual truth to us. Now, and let me begin with another question. Did you see the graffiti on the walls of the church as you drove in this morning? For those of you who drove in, some of you are still online and others are on site, and we welcome both. Those of you who are online at home and on site. Did you see the graffiti on the walls? Messages written big and bold saying, God is dead. The Bible is full of fables. Christians are hypocrites. Church is a waste of time and money. Did you see that graffiti on the walls? Well, probably not, because it's not really there. But if it were, you'd have seen it. In the meantime, and I'll say more about graffiti later, consider the concept of a temple. A temple is a place that is built in honor of a god. There were some impressive temples when Paul and Peter wrote. For instance, Corinth had many temples through the years, including the temple to Apollo. Not much is left of the temple to Apollo today, but we can tell by the remaining pillars that it was an impressive place. Even more impressive was the temple of Artemis in Ephesus. According to descriptions, the footprint of that temple was 2 football fields, and each of its 127 columns stood 60 feet high. It was one of the 7 wonders of the ancient world. When Paul wrote about the church being the temple, these are the kinds of images that may have come to his readers' minds. When Peter wrote to Jews concerning the temple, they envisioned the temple in Jerusalem. It was a special, sacred, spectacular place. The presence of the Lord was not limited to the temple, but it was expressed in a special way in the temple. So whether a person was a monotheist or a polytheist, they would have thought of the temple as a building in honor of a god. They would have thought of the temple as a place, not people. In our day, the temple is not just a place where people meet, but the people who meet in that place. People usually think of the church today as a building. It's fine to call this church, this building, a church, as long as you realize that the word church means more than the place where people meet. It's the people who meet in that place. The word refers not primarily to the building, but to the people in it. And this is part 3 of our series on snapshots. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the church as a body, and the primary message was coordinate with one another or serve with one another in a coordinated fashion. Last week, we looked at the church as a bride. The main message was be ready, prepare for his coming. And this week, we consider the church as a temple, and we're reminded to worship and witness. The Bible has much to say of the church as a temple, and we'll look at various Bible passages that stress the foundation and the formation and the function of the temple. Let's think first about the foundation of the temple. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. By the grace God has given me, Paul says, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, the foundation of a physical building gives shape and strength and stability and symmetry to that building. The foundation of a spiritual building does something similar. Our foundation is Jesus, not parents or heritage or tradition or country. All these influences can help to get us started and can help to keep us going, but we still have to make our faith personal. Again, our foundation is Jesus, not good works, baptism, communion, offerings, or attendance. Although those things are significant as well, they're simply means of expressing our faith. Once more, our foundation is Jesus, not a man-made movement or a message. Now, the fact that Jesus is our foundation will help us when the imperfections of the church are more obvious. Between the faults and flaws and failures, our foundation is Jesus. We're not ultimately involved in church because of the people around us. We're ultimately involved in church because of the foundation, which is Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2 speaks further of the foundation when Paul says in verse 20, you are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. The foundation of our faith is the apostles and prophets. What they said and what they wrote, or what the materials they provided for what others wrote, and we learn from them about the cornerstone of our faith, Jesus. We can learn what Jesus did also to arrange our origins and our history. Regular Bible time is important. It is foundational. After this one verse a day journey through Proverbs 11, I'm going to read one chapter a day in Genesis and Exodus. There are 90 chapters total, 50 and 40, and 90 chapters total. That'll be a great way to spend September, October, and November. Just one chapter a day will take you through those foundational books before we're done. If you don't have a Bible time, feel free to join me as we learn of the origins of the world and the origins of the Hebrew nation. The apostles and prophets were inspired to provide in Scripture the basis for what we believe. If anyone, including me, tries to convince you of something they cannot defend from the Bible, then challenge them. You shouldn't automatically write that person off because they disagree with you on a minor point of interpretation, but if it is a fundamental of the faith, that's different. Anyone can be wrong from time to time, including me and you. But always listen carefully and evaluate using Scripture. So once a foundation is laid, there is the formation of the temple. Let's look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. Each one of you should build with care. Their work will be shown for what it is because the day will bring it to light. So build with care. Don't be careless about your part in building this spiritual building called the temple. Don't consider church a low-level priority or an optional activity. Don't give it a half-hearted effort. Give it your whole heart. Now, the church will never be perfect, but she can always get better, and you will help to make her better. So give it your best effort. The day will bring it to light. What day is that? That is Judgment Day. But that's okay. Judgment Day is only frightful if you and I have been unfaithful. Let me say that again. Judgment Day is only frightful if you and I have been unfaithful. Think of judgment day, not as punishment day, but as payday. Nobody looks forward to punishment day, at least nobody in their right mind. But everybody looks forward to payday. And payday will be based on how you built onto his church. Not the physical building, but the spiritual reality of the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12 says, if anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, it will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test the quality of each person's work. So one day everyone's work for the church will be put through the fire. But this fire is not punishment. The text calls it a test. It is a test to determine the level of reward that you will receive. A good test is not given to make you fail. A good test is given to demonstrate that you have succeeded. God wants you to succeed. He doesn't surprise us with this test. It's not a pop quiz. He even tells us what's going to be on the test. He's telling us what will be on the final exam. It'll test the quality of each person's work, the material and workmanship in the temple, which is the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, if what he has built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. So, each of us as a believer is a subcontractor to foreman Jesus. Sometimes, builders of physical buildings can be careless. Sometimes builders of the spiritual building, the church, can be careless too. Careless Christians do go to heaven, but it'll be like barely escaping a burning building. Your good works do not give you access to heaven. It is the good work of Jesus on the cross that gives you and me access to heaven. But your good works do affect your rewards in heaven upon arrival. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? Verse 17 says, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred and you together are that temple. The word temple occurs four times in those two verses. Each of us is a temple of the Holy Spirit as an individual, and that's one reason we're to take care of our physical bodies. But that's 1 Corinthians 6. This is 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3 is describing believers collectively when the passage says you, plural, are a temple of the Holy Spirit. God is present in a group in a different way than he is present in an individual. Your Christian experience is not complete unless you gather in the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, of course, a pandemic affects things, and God bless those who are online, and God bless those who are on site as well. But ideally, you will be in a large group gathering, such as a worship service, and in a small group, because God goes to church. And he wants to meet you there. Paul says God will destroy a destroyer. That's a serious warning about our treatment of the spiritual temple, which is called the church. God will destroy a destroyer. I'm not even sure what that means, but I don't want any part of it if I can help it. Mistreating the church, God's temple, would be like painting graffiti on the walls of the Kremlin or Buckingham Palace or the White House. That would be a bad idea. There are two ways to graffiti the church. One is by arming the critics through consistent inconsistency. Now, I said that on purpose, consistent inconsistency, because nobody's perfect. But to be consistently inconsistent is not necessary. If we are consistently inconsistent in our morals, ethics, personality, then we give ammunition to the critics to fire away their guns at the church. A second way to harm the church is by joining the critics. You can arm the critics or you can join the critics. If you publicly criticize a church, run it down, or complain, then you are painting graffiti on the temple of God. And some of the worst of it comes by social media. Criticizing your church or any other church on social media is not helpful. Now, I'm not suggesting we become blind to our imperfections. I'm suggesting we manage those imperfections in a constructive, productive way. So next time you're tempted toward consistent inconsistency in your life or toward public criticism of your church or any other church, then imagine Jesus saying to you, "Do you really want to treat my house that way?" The church is the temple of God, the home of Jesus. And I don't mean a physical building. You can be in touch with the Lord in various places. But the church, as the spiritual temple, is the home of God. So don't arm the critics and don't join the critics. Prove the critics wrong by the way you act and by the way you speak. Be consistently inconsistent. Be humble about your imperfections and then be consistent as you live your lives and as you do your deeds, as you say your words, be consistent. Paul says, if you destroy God's temple, God will destroy you. As I said before, I'm not sure what that means, but I don't want any part of it. Now proceed to Ephesians chapter 2. In him the whole body is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. The building is joined together by the Lord and rises to become a dwelling by God's Spirit. Now, Jesus is known for being a certain profession. His profession is a carpenter, right? I think I heard that word carpenter. That word carpenter could be translated craftsman. In that day and in that place, stones were more common material than was wood. Jesus probably worked with masons. He may have even worked as a mason. And so he probably knew about masonry as well as carpentry. We know he was used to working with what could be called hard cases. He had to work with a hard-headed blockhead named Peter and turn him into a stable influence. Jesus had to work with a hard-headed wrecking ball like Paul and turn him into a constructive builder. And he knows how to take hard cases like me and you and turn us into constructive parts of the temple of the Holy Spirit in which the temple of God in which the Holy Spirit dwells. Each of us is, according to the scriptures, a living stone. And Jesus is chipping away major flaws and smoothing out rough edges like the supreme craftsman that he is. His work on us reduces the friction between us. It keeps us from rubbing each other the wrong way. Now, you may rub someone the wrong way and someone may rub you the wrong way, but think of how bad it would be if Jesus weren't working on us. Each stone is important, and if stones are missing, there are gaps. Imagine driving up to this building and seeing gaps in the walls, gaping holes in this building. Well, frankly, that's what happens when people drift away or drop out. Now, I'm not trying to guilt anyone into more church attendance, especially during a pandemic. I am trying to remind each of us of the powerful influence that we have just by showing up. The temple needs you, or the walls are holy, H-O-L-E-Y, not H-O-L-Y. It's amazing but true, as I said before, you can encourage others just by showing up. So that's the foundation and the formation of the temple. Now the function of the temple. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be, here it is, a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Jesus instituted a new covenant. We say that every time we partake of communion together. This is the new covenant in my blood. Jesus instituted a new covenant. The temple has changed. It's not built with physical stones anymore. We are the living stones. The location has changed. Any place believers gather for worship now becomes a holy temple, not just in Jerusalem. The priesthood has changed. It used to be that we would have to go through an individual to get to God, but not anymore. We are a kingdom of priests. And the sacrifices have changed. Nobody brought lambs or turtle doves to church today. If you did, take them home because we don't sacrifice them here anymore. Instead, they include the sacrifice of converts. The Apostle Paul said, he gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God. When we influence someone toward the Lord, we're not just being a good witness. We are providing a sacrifice, an offering to the Lord. There's also the sacrifice of giving, which is mentioned in Philippians 4:18. The gifts you sent are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. Your tithes and offerings are more than a financial necessity. Sure, it meets material needs and pays the bills, but it's a way not just of paying the bills, it's also a way of paying respect to the Lord. There's the sacrifice of praise, as mentioned in Hebrews 13. Through Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess His name. Every time we gather to sing or pray or affirm our faith, we are participating as living stones in a spiritual rock concert. There is the sacrifice of good deeds, also mentioned in Hebrews 13. Do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. When you do good deeds, you're not just helping an individual or a society. You are offering a sacrifice to the Lord. And then there's that catch-all category, that verse which we all memorized when we became believers, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, the sacrifice of self. I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to Him, which is your spiritual act of worship. That's an all-encompassing sacrifice. If you give your entire body, then everything that happens through your body is a sacrifice to the Lord. If you give your entire body, your head, your eyes, your ears, your hands, your feet, from head to toe, then you are giving a sacrifice in everything you say and everything you do. That's what the Lord has in mind for us. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy to you, and God has been so merciful to you, He has given us what we do not deserve to have, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, your hands and feet and everything, your head from head to toe, offer that. There are at least seven functions of the gathered church. We come. The book of Hebrews says, don't forsake our assembling together, as is the habit of some. We greet. You know, the second greatest command in Scripture, aside from love one another, is to greet one another. That's the second greatest command, the second most frequent command in the New Testament. is to greet one another. When we greet one another, we acknowledge a person's presence and a person's value to us and to the Lord. We pray. Jesus said, "My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." We sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, said the Apostle Paul. We give as God has prospered us, we give. We hear. Worship doesn't end when the singing and the reading and the praying ends. Worship continues right on through as we heed the word, as we hear the word explained. And so we hear and then we serve one another in love. All those things happen during corporate worship. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, God's household is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. Now, there may be many wonderful organizations in this world, but none of them is described as the pillar and foundation of the truth. Only the church is called to uphold the truth in that way. The church is a temple, so worship and witness. Let's circle back to the thought of graffiti as we close. What if there were graffiti on the church when you drove in today? If you drove in, what if it had been a positive message? What if the messages were not in paint on the walls, but in the words and deeds of your life and mine, our lives? We can communicate by our words and deeds, messages opposite of what I said earlier, messages like, God is alive. The Bible is true and relevant. Christians are sincere, and church is worth all of my time and every dime. I wonder what people would think when they drove by this church, or when they think of this church and realize that you attend this church. Let's help them think good thoughts, positive thoughts, thoughts that lead them closer to Jesus. You can bring honor to the Lord by being a good and faithful living stone as part of this temple of the Lord. Be involved in heartfelt, Bible-based, God-honoring, Christ-exalting, Spirit-led worship. Be involved as a good and faithful witness to the Lord. That's how you fit into the picture. Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you that you've called us to be living stones as part of the temple of the Lord. Not a physical building, but a spiritual reality. The church of the living God, in whose name we pray. Amen.